Chasing Big Joe at Pinewood Social today, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Greg Wyshynski, presented by ESPN Bet, joins us now, usually on Thursdays, moving some stuff around. Greg, what's up? How are you?
I'm good, man. I had to move it because I was in Boston yesterday covering college hockey as the college hockey tournaments begin this weekend. So a little Boston College, a little Boston University action, talking to the future stars of the NHL.
I know you have to enjoy that because, like, I've never gotten to experience it, the Frozen Four or anything, and it's on my bucket list, but that has to be a lot of fun.
The Frozen Four is dope. Like, I've been to a couple of them now, and the event's great. You know, NCAA hockey has boomed in, like, the last 10 years because of just how many NHL players have come from the NCAA. I was talking to the coach from Boston College about the fact that, like, you've got kids from all over the world, Canada International, that now come and play NCAA hockey because the quality of the game has gotten so good and because the teams get so much attention. And, you know, I have a story up on ESPN today about NHL rivalries. And, you know, rivalries aren't what they used to be in the NHL, but they certainly are just as good or even better in college. I mean, you got your, you know, Michigan State, you got your Boston College, Boston University, you got some real blood feuds down at the NCAA level that make it really fun.
Yeah, no doubt. I know that your biggest task right now is locating the Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads that have gone missing. This has been a fantastic saga. I mean, a terrible one because they're gone. Now, I know he has one, so I saw him tweet that or something. But what in the world is going on with this?
I'm just happy it wasn't a bit, man. Like, we all wrote about it yesterday morning, taking them at face value. There was a moment during the afternoon when the Penguins released that funny video of Jagr and the bobblehead trying to find all of the rest of the bobbleheads. And I'm like, is this a work? Like, do I have to do a retraction on the site because of the story? But no, it was a theft. Someone decided they were going to steal cargo, and rather than, you know, drugs or microchips or whatever the hell they thought they were getting, they got, you know, 19,000 Jaromir Jagr bobblehead dolls, which I don't quite know how you get rid of. I mean, I don't think you could put 19,000 listings on eBay. So, you know, it's a weird story. I think it only adds to the legend of Jagr. And I do have to repeat my favorite joke I received yesterday from somebody on text. Which is it possible that Jagr stole the bobbleheads themselves in order to give one to all of his girlfriends? Which I thought was a great line.
That's pretty good. I mean, look, I wouldn't put it past Jagr to steal them on his own and make it like a thing, but it sounds like this is a pretty legit crime. So hopefully they find them, and because they've had to delay the giveaway now because they don't have any of the bobbleheads.
Yeah, they had to give out certificates last night to the fans at the game that I guess are going to be, you know, you could scan them to claim the bobbleheads if they have to remake them or if they do find this stolen crate of bobbleheads somewhere in California where they were stolen. So again, it couldn't have come at a better time. Let me put it that way. This story, hockey needed the story. Hockey needed a punchline. We're going to be making, you know, this dude got traded for a crate of stolen Jagr bobbleheads. We're going to be making those jokes for like the next decade, and it's going to be great.
Greg, we want to talk about the Nashville Predators real quick. Andrew Brunette, as far as the job he's done, being mentioned, you know, he probably won't get, you know, the coach of the year, but, I mean, he should be in serious consideration, right, if they continue this pace they're on?
They should. Absolutely he should. And I'd be surprised if he doesn't get some love for a team that, you know, listen, I had him in the playoffs, but a lot of people didn't. And the fact of the matter right now is that the Predators have a 95% chance of making the cut, which is, again, not something that a lot of people thought was going to be the case for them this season. I think that he's done a masterful job managing a young team. I think that, you know, he's managed them through some defensive deficiencies, not getting the greatest goaltending earlier this season at times. And he certainly found a way to unlock them offensively, which is something that I think a lot of us thought if the Predators were going to be good, it was going to be with them playing sort of high-tempo Andrew Brunette-style hockey. And, you know, right now they're like, I think, around 12th or 13th in the league in goals per game. It's very respectable. And I think he's done a really solid job in what was a very competitive playoff bubble for a while in the West.
I mean, I thought don't know much if you saw the game Wednesday night versus Winnipeg, but I mean they punished the Jets. I mean it was ended up being 4-2, and the score was not even that close, Greg. But I mean they took Winnipeg. They every aspect of the game, the Preds just outplayed them, and you could see in that game, Greg, how good this Nashville Predator hockey team can be.
Sure, absolutely, and that's good to hear because they're going to have to play that style if they want to do anything in the playoffs. I mean the Western Conference is nothing if not bludgeoning. You know, you look at the Golden Knights and the way they play, and then only getting tougher with the Mantha acquisition, and obviously everything else that they've got on that roster. You know, the Kings are a grind. The Oilers could be a grind. Dallas is a grind. So, like, you're going to be in order to hang in some of these series, you're going to have to be able to outwork your opponent and bump around a little bit. And it sounds like Nashville can do that.
Greg Wyshynski is with us. Do you think Jason Zucker could be one of those sneaky good pickups of the deadline?
I mean, sneaky good in the sense that he was a little bit under the radar for some reason. I mean, maybe it's because he was, you know, traded for a bag of pucks basically by the Coyotes for some reason. I'm still not sure why they gave away both him and Dumba the way that they did, unless it just was a monetary thing. I thought it was a brilliant move by Barry Trotz to grab Zucker because, you know, he's familiar with Brunette from their days in Minnesota. So there's that connection there, that familiarity. He definitely plays a style of hockey that fits in with the Predators' purview. And I think that in the right situation, he can pop the goal and he can pop the puck in the net a few times for you in big situations. So, I mean, under the radar, yeah, in the sense that he wasn't talked up as much as some of the other trades and obviously was kind of given away by the team that had him. But he's a real good hockey player. And I think that, when it comes to playoff time, his name is going to be spoken pretty highly in tight situations.
When it comes to postseason awards, you know, we talked about the Jack Adams and if Andrew Brunette would be a part of that, but do you feel like Roman Josi has worked his way into the Norris consideration and maybe even UC Soros into Vezina?
I don't know about Soros, man. Like there is a third spot open behind Hellebuck and Demko, and it could go to any number of guys. I mean, even Jordan Binnington, I think, has made a late season push for that award. I don't quite know, just because of how uneven his season has been, whether UC's going to get that or not. But you know, it wouldn't shock me. Obviously, the voters are the general managers. They've got the utmost respect for the way that guy plays. The Norris is kind of the same deal, to be honest with you, as far as like having two spots spoken for. I mean, everybody knows that Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar are going to hold down those other two spots. Josi, you know, has moved ahead of Noah Dobson, who I think has been that third guy on the ballot for most of the season from the Islanders. But the guy that Yossi's got to worry about, I think, is Victor Hedman. You know, that Tampa Bay team is one that some people thought might miss. And everybody thinks is diminished because of the injury to Vasilevskiy earlier this season and the injury to Sergachev midway through the season. And Hedman's been great for them. He's got good offensive stats, and he's obviously somebody who has been a Norris finalist like a half dozen times. So, you know, clearly Makar and clearly Hughes are going to be two of the finalists. And then I think it's going to be Josi, Dobson, Hedman, the other three that have to fight for that last spot.
Yeah, going to be interesting for sure. Greg, appreciate it. As always, enjoy the college hockey. And if you find the bobbleheads, let us know.
I have Detective Pikachu on the case as we speak. He will find him somewhere.
Awesome stuff. Appreciate it. Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, senior writer covering the NHL, joining us here on the program.